Good afternoon. I'd like to call the Jobs, Agriculture, and Rural Development Committee to order for Wednesday, January 28th. Please let the record state that we do have a quorum. Today we have an exciting hearing, members. We're going to hear first from the Department of Labor and Industry on a report regarding the pipeline project. And then following that, Senator Bonhoff will present her bill, which today we're not going to take action. I think that she's done a lot of hard work on it over the interim, so I want to make sure that members are comfortable with her proposal. And we'll probably bring, not probably, we will be bringing the bill back early next week to take additional testimony or amendments and try to act favorably on it at that time. So with that, I would invite Deputy Commissioner Luman to come forward and present on behalf of the Department of Labor and Industry. Welcome to the committee, Deputy Commissioner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Jessica Luman, and I serve as the Deputy Commissioner at the Minnesota Department of Labor and Industry. I'm pleased to be able to present the progress report on a project that we've been working on at DLI since July. I hope everybody has a copy of their report, and we do have a version of the executive summary for the public, and the report is also available on our website in its entirety, including appendices online. Thanks to the incredibly hard work of our project manager, Heather McGannon, who's here with me today, the support of the legislative authors, Senator Bonhoff and Representative Norton, our partners at Deed and Minsku, the Minnesota Chamber, and the participation of over 200 industry leaders, we've been able to accomplish a great deal in a short amount of time. Many of these people are in the room today, and we look forward to hearing from many of them later. And I'd really like to thank everybody for their time, their energy, their commitment to this project. We have done a lot of work, good work. The project was named the Pipeline Project by Senator Bonhoff, and Pipeline stands for Private Investment, Public Education, Labor, and Industry Experience. And when I talk about this at the Department of Labor and Industry, the plumbers and the pipe fitters get a little confused. This is not a water or a gas pipeline. This is a workforce development pipeline. And it's based out of our registered apprenticeship program and through our labor standards and apprenticeship division, and is a really good fit for labor and industry. We are leveraging the success that we have had in Minnesota with registered apprenticeship. We have about 9,000 registered apprentices, and including right now in the construction trades, in manufacturing, in utilities. And those individuals are successfully completing an entry-level to journey-level career experience through registered apprenticeship. This is a broader dual training model of workforce development, and we're really focusing on four industries and emerging and high-demand industries, and those are healthcare services, information technology, manufacturing, and agriculture. Dual training is significantly less formal than registered apprenticeship. It's not regulated by the state in the same way. And it generally recognizes three primary components, which includes employment, related instruction, and on-the-job training. In order to explore dual training for the four industries of our focus, first we had to convene industry councils. And that was specifically identified in our legislation. And we created industry councils of about 50 people for each industry that were made up of industry experts, representative employers, higher education institutions, representative labor, representatives of labor, and representatives from Minsku, Deed, and the Department of Labor and Industry. Each council met three times between August and November, some of them here in St. Paul, some of them on the road. And during these meetings, we were able to accomplish four things. One, we were able to explore the concept of dual training and identify current and future workforce development needs for each of the industries. Two, each industry actually identified and reached consensus on up to four occupations that they thought might really work well for this dual training model. Three, we began to define the competencies that were necessary for each of these occupations in order to have an entry-level to experienced worker model. And four, we began to develop what it would take to start new dual training programs in Minnesota, as well as support current dual training and apprenticeship programs. So in the report and then also in the executive summary, I'd just like to direct you to the project findings. These represent findings from all four industries. We also did do specific industry findings, which we think are very We learned a lot, very illustrative of the different needs from each of the different industries, but there were a lot of common themes that you can see, which include interest and engagement in dual training and a role for employers, education, labor, and government to assist in dual training as a workforce tool. So mostly I want to go over the recommendations, although I'm happy to take any questions. But I kind of want to explore each of the recommendations that come out of the report for a few minutes and so that we can really talk about where we are right now and what we see as the next steps in this project. First recommendation, and also this is in the executive summary in the green box for those of you who are following along at home, is to complete the occupational competency standards for all occupations identified through the pipeline project. So when an industry all agrees what it means to be competent in an occupation, then it can begin to train to a standard set of skills, knowledge, and abilities, which is then transferable throughout that industry. That's why we look at competency standards for an occupation. It's one of the things that makes dual training different from customized training, is this agreement on competency standards. Through the industry experts that we've convened, we have begun to develop and validate occupation-specific competency standards for each of the pipeline-identified occupations. We're using the USDOL national models. They've started some of this work for various industries, and we are improving on those and really identifying what are the specific on-the-job training components, what are the specific related instruction components, and then leaving open in our competency models a very clear way for each individual employer to train in their own individual ways. So if you look in the report, I just kind of want to do a little show and tell. This is what one of the competency models looks like. It's very pretty. It's in the
Deputy Commissioner, what page are you on, just so members can follow?
I was afraid you were going to ask me that. We're in the appendix.
Okay.
And it's, I don't know. Probably third appendix in.
Okay.
You can just find a pretty one.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah,
there you go. You found it.
You're good. There you go.
Okay.
Yes, we find it.
Yep.
And again, what we've really identified is that the work of the industry councils is to fill in the boxes that are currently white in our model and then let each individual employer fill in the rest of the boxes related to their individual needs. I'm trying to kind of see if I have a blank on this right here. So we do have just on page 7 is just sort of the standard. If that's more helpful. Sorry, I should have thought
that's
that
fine. Thank
bit.
You.
Okay, good. So one of the things that we are trying to do for each of the occupations is fill in all of the boxes for these occupations. And this is a big project. In other places that agencies and other organizations that have tried to do this, it can take a long time for an agency and an industry to really agree on what it takes to become competent in each of these occupations. So this has been a big focus of the pipeline project so far and continues to be a big focus as the pipeline project as we go forward. 6 of these trapezoids have been, pyramids have been completed so far, and we continue to work at DLI with the industry experts to flesh out the rest of the occupations that have been identified. Recommendation number 2 actually goes right along with that, which is that because a total of 15 occupations have been identified as conducive to dual training so far, those are not all of the occupations that are needed by these industries, and nor are they all the occupations that may be suited to dual training. They are a place to start. So under recommendation 2, we're really talking about building industry competency councils for each of these targeted industries to develop competency standards for additional occupations. So as more occupations are identified as being conducive to dual training, we would have a format in place to really continue to develop the occupational standards for them. For recommendation 3, we want to establish dual training committees for at least one pipeline project identified occupation in each target area. So again, a dual training program is using the competency standards to develop a training program that includes employment, on-the-job training, and related instruction. The dual training committees are housed at an employer or an employer association, and they're usually composed of employee representatives, a dual training program coordinator, a related training provider, and can also include worker representatives and representatives from labor and industry or other agencies. These committees take the approved competency standards and figure out how to best deliver dual training for the participating employer and employers. We continue at DLI to facilitate the development of dual training committees for at least one new dual training or apprenticeship program during the next 6 months. So in each of the four industries, agriculture, IT, healthcare, and manufacturing, there is at least one employer who is ready to start a dual training program under the pipeline project, and we at DLI are really helping to help them develop their dual training committees and move forward with the project. In recommendation four, we are also recommending, and when I say we, I mean not just the agency, but everybody who participated in the pipeline project. These are really the recommendations that arose out of the industry council meetings. We're recommending that we develop templates and implementation tools for new dual training programs for all occupations identified through the pipeline project. And these tools are really one of the things that we heard a lot, was one of the barriers to beginning this kind of a program is the how-tos. How do we start a dual training program? What do we really need? And so this is really a toolbox that can be used by employers who want to start these programs, educational institutions that want to start these programs, and can include information about how to set them up, but also best practices from other programs related to recruiting and hiring and related instruction, on-the-job training, mentoring, program governance. Those kinds of things are what we really need to put together for people who want to start these programs. Recommendation number five is create and execute a plan for dual training, outreach, development, and awareness. Over and over, we have heard that one of the biggest challenges that we have is that people don't know about these great occupations. People don't know, young people, people of color, veterans, parents don't know about the great opportunities that are available in these industries, don't know the great opportunities that are available in each of these occupations, and don't know a lot about dual training. That's one of the programs that we really need to continue to focus on and develop awareness about how we build and expand these kinds of programs and get young people interested in them. Number six, align dual training delivery system to other workforce initiatives. I'm sure all of you are eager to hear this part, and this was something that we did hear over and over again. The Industry Council has both acknowledged and explored the many workforce initiatives currently occurring in these targeted industries. There is really great work happening all over the state to help develop a skilled workforce for these industries. And one of the things that the Industry Council has continued to focus on is how do we leverage the work that's already being done, not duplicate it, and make sure that this dual training initiative can fit right along with the work that that is already happening and the efforts that are already being made. Number seven was develop research and analysis tool to determine dual training system costs and benefits for employers, employees, and the state. In order to determine whether dual training continues to be viable, we, for certain occupations, industries, employers, the industry councils really said we need to continue to study this. We don't want to just start the project and let it go on its own. We really want to get performance measures back from each of the programs that we help develop, learn from them, learn best practices, and make sure that we're continuing to loop back so that we know how to continue to make these things programmatically successful as well as economically successful. And finally, recommendation eight is to explore providing necessary financial support to make dual training programs viable and sustainable for employers and employees. The industry councils did recommend that the legislature explore possible incentive fundings for employers, dual training employees or apprentices to assist the initial costs associated with starting up dual training and registered apprenticeship programs. So again, that's a very quick overview. I'm happy to talk all day about this really fun project, but I did just want to give you an overview of what we've done so far. Thank everyone who has given a ton of time. Senator Senjum was able to attend some of our industry council meetings. Senator Nelson was able to attend some of our industry council meetings. And really want to stress that this is a very exciting opportunity to look at an additional training, dual training opportunity that may augment a lot of the work that's already being done in workforce development in a new and exciting way. So I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Deputy Commissioner, thank you, obviously, in the department for all your hard work, and obviously for recognizing Senator Senjum, too. Thank you for joining us, Senator Senjum. I know that you worked hard on this in the interim. Deputy Commissioner, are you allowed to share with us? You said that there's four projects or programs that are ready to go. Is that something that you can share with the committee at this time in each of the individual areas, or is that something that you'd like to?
Senator, Mr. Chairman, we are looking at, for in terms of occupations, we're looking at, for the agriculture industry, we're looking at the herd manager, and we're working with the pork producers to work on that kind of a project. We're looking at a mechatronic in the manufacturing industry, and we're working with a couple of employers on that approach. In the IT industry, we're working with an organization that's really being innovative, as IT often is. Mm-hmm. We learned a lot about IT in this project. It's really being innovative in terms of putting together sort of a exposure, so a career exposure project, and then actually moving directly into a registered apprenticeship program. And that's for I believe it's for software developers. Oh, good, I got that right. And then for healthcare, we're actually working with a huge industry organization to start looking at the mental health technician. One of the things we learned in our industry council work is that sometimes emerging occupations are really conducive to this dual training model because there's not already a structure around how those types of occupations are trained. So we're working, some of them are with individual employers, some of them with a group of employers.
Wonderful. Thank you. Any other questions from the committee? If not, thank you very much, Deputy Commissioner.
Thank for you. Just a comment, then.
Senator Bono.
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to first let anybody who had questions, but I would like to acknowledge the Deputy Commissioner and Heather McGannon, her project manager, who's also here. I was so impressed with their level of leadership to pull together such a complex and multifaceted group, bring them together and lead them through coming up with the report that they did. So, and also Mr. Rakowski, who's in the room, I believe. Just a huge appreciation and congratulations. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, very nicely done. Any other questions, committee? If not, thank you very much, Deputy Commissioner. I'm sure we'll be seeing you back here in committee at some point.
Sure.
Then next we'll move on to Senate File 5, Senator Bonoff's bill that deals with pipeline. And members, in your packets, I think as Senator Bonoff comes to the witness table. She has been working hard on this. She does have an author's A3 amendment that would get the bill in the shape that the author would like it. And so at this time, Senator Bonoff would move the A3 author's amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. The motion prevails. The A3 amendment is adopted. Senator Bonoff, welcome to the committee, and we look forward to hearing from you on Senate File 5.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And the A3 amendment is a delete-all, and what the A3 amendment does is it fills in some of the blanks that the early legislation just had left out, so does not change the substance and is probably best explained just as we go through the bill. But just to remind members that the report that you just heard was a result of the legislation that our legislature passed last session, whereby we said it was worth exploring, could we in Minnesota be a state that really would pioneer this approach of using a dual education system as a way to solve some of the challenges we face in creating an educated workforce, in being able to do something about the relationship between cost, education, debt, and all of that, and lead us in making sure that Minnesota is an economic leader in our nation. So just to take one step back, I would like to just remind members that I first heard about this whole dual education model when I visited a company in my district, Bueller Corporation. And so I have Ellen Bees here with me from Bueller. But a few years back, I was asked to be at a ribbon cutting at the Bueller Corporation where they were announcing the formation and the launch of a program. I, along with the mayor of Plymouth, who actually happened to be at the Capitol today, coincidentally. So I came there to speak, but I tell you, it wasn't about me speaking. I really came there to learn, and I was blown away by what Bueller announced on that day. Bueller announced that they were going to take the approach they had used in their headquarters in both Sweden and Germany, and frankly an approach that's used all over the Europe in terms of how they train their people, and launch it in the northwestern suburbs of my community. So Bueller went into the high schools. They interviewed. They picked five students. They hired them. They did a arrangement with the Dunwoody School of Technology and had Dunwoody design this program with them so that it met their needs. They paid for these students both to work at Bueller, to attend Dunwoody, and then 3 years later, they're done and they have a job at Bueller. So I don't need to go to say any more about that because Ms. Bees can speak about that herself, but a light bulb went on when I saw that and I thought, you know, that solves everything because now you've got somebody who's trained in the ways of the company, you've got the cost being shared by the employer and the student, and you've got this whole thing about how am I going to get a job and all that comes with that is now off the table. And so I became fascinated with how we could take that and expand it. At the same time, I come to find out that Dr. Sabina Engel, who you will meet a little bit later, is from Germany, works at the university, and leads a trip of folks from the state to Germany to learn more about what they're doing. And Senator Senjum was on that trip, as was Representative Norton and several other people. And so were you on one of those trips?
Senator Herr.
Very good. So there became kind of this groundswell of interest around, can we do this? And so with this legislation that we're putting forward, we're taking the tremendous work that was done by all those who participated during the interim on the advisory councils. And members, in your packet, you've got a sheet that shows the various companies who sat on the advisory council. And as you can see, these are our state's finest employers. We've got, you know, Toro, Ajax, Medtronic, Deloitte, IBM, Target. You know, you can see for yourself, but many, many employers came to help us in this conversation as they too saw the need. So given that there was this interest all over in pockets around the state and on a parallel path, Dr. Annette Parker down at South Central College received a grant from the U.S. government to explore public-private partnerships in southwestern Minnesota on this very subject, it was only natural that this session we're introducing a bill to, in fact, begin to really establish dual education in our state. So at some point, I'll take you through the particulars of the bill, but I thought we could start with the testifiers who just would say a little bit about what we're doing.
Perfect.
Hi, dear Chairman and members. I'm glad to be here and talk about the bill. As Senator Bonhoeff was explaining, this is what Bueller has done. We have really followed.
Say your name for the record. Oh,
my name is Ellen Bees, and I'm the HR director for Bueller Incorporated.
Welcome.
Thank you. As Senator Bonhoeff has already described, we have exactly done that. We started an apprenticeship program in 2012. Following the European concept. And I want to explain this just a little bit, and then you can see how this can be multiplied throughout. And we followed the European system because this education is not Bueller-specific. We basically took the standards of this profession, how it is in Europe today, And this is why a standardization is so important, that the industry is involved and we decide what skills are needed. At the end, for certain job groups, you have about 75%, which everyone will need and can benefit from. And then every company and organization has their very specific skills needed for their technology and so forth. So if we share now the education of the first 75% in such a way, then everyone can have an apprentice when they go through the apprenticeship, have an individual who has already 75% of the skills they need to have, and relatively fast can now have this person be productive in their organization by now just teaching them the specific company technologies they need to have. In the way we went about this, it's a 3-year program. We have a certain curriculum we follow to make sure the basics are met. We partner with Dunwoody College, and it's a dual approach. So they go to Dunwoody College in modules, and then they come to Bueller and apply what they have learned. And the bill will really help that more companies can follow an apprenticeship program and get started with apprenticeship program with the agreed competency standards, because then everyone has the same understanding of what are we teaching these individuals, so everyone knows what's there, what are the basics, and ensuring that those are the right skills which are needed because the industry is involved in setting these standards. It will allow also small businesses to start apprenticeship programs because now they have the tools to get them started with it. So we can produce all the skilled labor, really, in the end for all these different positions, and everyone can benefit from it. It will give the youth an additional opportunity for education besides college. So it's very important that this is then recognized on the state level. So if we have the statewide that we all understand for certain jobs, what is a job, what are the competency standards which have been taught in schools, then everyone can benefit from this. And the cost, we're Bueller, we pay for everything. We pay for the schooling. They're regular employees. If we can now share the cost by grouping together the schooling aspect, then it becomes even more beneficial and more easier for smaller companies to follow as well.
Very good. Can I just ask what Bueller Inc., what kind of business or what?
We are a machine manufacturer for the food and non-food industry.
Okay, excellent.
So we make the machines and the equipment for the companies people do know, you know, for basically we touch everyone's life at least once per day. Machines for General Mills, food, rice, flour milling, chocolate, brewing, malting, die casting. So
excellent. Okay.
Very widely spread.
Great.
And Mr. Chairman, Bueller took all the folks on the Advanced Manufacturing Advisory Council and invited them to come and tour and see firsthand their approach. So
wonderful.
Really appreciated that.
Thank you.
And with the bill, too, it will be enable people to set it up. So we have a whole apprenticeship shop. So that means they're separated also from regular manufacturing. So now when they apply their skills, they first can try them out without the pressure of damaging anything. And then they're also, you know, to learn the skill. So that takes away some of the pressure. So this is very important because there they can really try out because that triggers innovation as well. So there's multiple benefits to that as well. So
excellent.
This bill would help that as well.
Wonderful. Thank you very much for your testimony. Any questions of the witness members?
Mr. Chairman, I thought I might then go through the bill just so you understand what's before you. This legislation allows any industry operating in Minnesota to develop competency standards in coordination with the Commissioner's Office of the Department of Labor Industry for occupations that are in high demand. And as we've stated, at this point, we have been working in advanced manufacturing, IT, health sciences, as well as agriculture. The bill creates a grant structure whereby businesses would apply through deed for grants so that when they hire their employee, the grant would allow for them to attend a post-secondary institution that would fulfill on the competency standards that the Department of Labor has established. The bill talks about, as the Commissioner of Deed looks at who is eligible and how they would prioritize those applications, they say that they should make sure that at least half the grant go to outstate and half, you know, could be metro. The companies must identify how many people they expect to train, what is the competency standard for which the training will be provided, any credential the employee would receive upon completion of training, who would be providing. So, in other words, these companies will create partnerships with post-secondary institutions. And so they could, Bueller could partner with University of Minnesota or with Mankato State. It could be any accredited institution who would fulfill that training. Within the bill, we established that if you're a large employer, that in fact you too would pay for a portion of the post-secondary training. We believe that for a small employer, it's enough to require that they hire the employee, because so often internships and apprenticeships aren't paid. And so this bill does actually state that the employer must have that relationship where the student is working for that company. We require the commissioner to report on the progress of how this is done, and to identify additional competency standard areas that we might move forward in.
Senator
Senjum,
say anything about the bill before we go on with our testifiers?
We'll never give a politician a chance. I wasn't anticipating saying anything, but Mr. Chair and members, I perhaps can't resist. And as you think about this bill and as you look at it, it might look like education, but I would suggest it's all about economic development and the future of our state. I would say perhaps none of you can go into any of your communities back home and talk to people very long or go to a forum, whatever it might be, and the whole issue about workforce and our future and where our employees are coming from is going to come up. It invariably does. And I whether it's Rochester or War Road or Plymouth or Mankato, it's all over. It's something that's extremely important to our state and to our future. And again, it's all in my mind about economic development. Having been to Germany and experienced that firsthand, I saw a country that I said, why can't our state be like this? And it's where the national government, the state government, the chambers of commerce, the unions, and everybody, the educational system, came around this student, this individual, and took that person and develop that person to seemingly his or her fullest extent, and for the good and glory in that case of Germany, and maybe even the world, who knows? But nonetheless, a system that's really designed around workforce education with the idea that is their prosperity, that is the economic future of that country, and so that also, as I look at this. And I kind of look as a baby being born here in terms of an idea. I look at this as the beginning of a journey that will take us hopefully into that sort of a world. And it will bob and weave as we, hit the bumps and turn the corners. But nonetheless, I think Senator Bonhoeff is starting something here that's incredibly powerful and incredibly important to our future. And I just hope you give it a real, real long look and a lot of maybe applause and even more, certainly in the end, approval, hopefully, as you look at it more thoroughly. But give it a chance, because this is terribly important. It's all about our economic future, and it's my privilege, frankly, to be part of the authorship of this bill.
Well, thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you, Senator Senjum.
So I do have testifiers. With that, I'd like to call Kimberly Aragone, who was a critical member of both the initial idea as well as the Advanced Manufacturing Advisory Council.
Ms. Aragone, welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Kimberly Aragone, and my company is Haberman Machine. We have two locations. One is in Stillwater and one is in Oakdale. We are Precision Machining Job Shop, and we touch on such industries as the firearms components, military and defense, environmental filtration systems, oil and gas, semiconductors, family-owned business, and this is our legacy. And speaking on behalf of the manufacturing industry, an apprenticeship program, a new version, if you will, a modified version, modernized version of where we're at or where we've been is where we need to go. Planting seeds is what Senator Bonhoff has done, and we need to help support continuing our legacy of this industry continuing into the state. We claim it to be a state of manufacturing, and I want to see it to happen. Sitting in different associations across the country, national associations, a lot of other states are far ahead of us. Our neighboring state, right to the east of us, is kicking our butt in many ways, if I can be so blunt to say that. But we need to help support us and catapult us into the future. And my family relies on it, and workforce development is a huge area. And apprenticeship programs is something we started at our company a few years ago. We had a huge surge in entry-level positions at our company. And our desire was to support growing our own employees to help support experienced machinists, the qualified master machinists we're all lacking. So we started with a base and grew that to the point that our apprenticeship program with Minnesota Dolly and offering them stackable credentials with NIMS being our choice of credentials helped support those people who came on board. A lot of them were had no skills whatsoever in our industry, getting them to a point that they were qualified operators, not experienced machinists, but operators. And though we experienced a bit of a downturn and some of them had to be separated from us, I am happy to say they stayed in the industry. So we made an investment in them. We helped support our industry by giving them credentials that weren't specific to our company, but to our industry. So a little bit of giving back and some kind of ownership and skin in the game, if you will, is what we have as a business. And it's our responsibility, again, to help support the industry. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
You bet.
Questions for the witness member? If not, thank you very much for your
thank
testimony.
You very thank much.
I'll let you introduce. I don't know what order you want to take them in, sir.
I think now we'll go to Carrie Thurlow and Toby Pearson.
Okay.
They participated in the health sciences part of the advisory council.
Okay, wonderful.
Welcome to the committee. I'll let whichever one of you wants to go first just introduce yourself. And
Mr. Chair, members, my name is Toby Pearson. I'm here with Care Providers of Minnesota, also with the Long-Term Care Imperative. And I was elected to go first, so I'll keep my remarks short. As you've heard from a number of us as we've gone around doing visits, providers these days are really struggling to recruit and retain caregivers. This is yet another example of something that we think we have to look at as a state to try to grow our own folks to work in the caregiving profession. If you look at the demographics that are coming, we know we have an aging population. We know, especially in greater Minnesota, there aren't folks around to take care of the aging population. So it's things like this, these apprenticeship models, the scholarships, the leaderships, they support growing our own in the caregiving professions, and that's why we support endeavors such as this.
Thank you. And Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Carrie Thurlow. I'm the Senior Vice President of Advocacy for Leading Age Minnesota, also here on behalf of the Long-Term Care Imperative. Leading Age Minnesota was one of the participants of the pipeline study. You'll see one of the dual education programs that we've actually developed referenced in the report called Health Support Specialist. It's actually a federally registered apprenticeship program for long-term care providers. And you'll see in the report there are a few providers throughout the state that have done this. We currently have 38 active health support specialists, so small program, but demonstrating some really good results throughout the state. And really want to thank Senator Bonna for bringing this forward as another tool, as Toby said, to help expand this particular effort. I want to just take a moment in my testimony to also draw attention to the recommendations in the pipeline report. As we work on dual education as a strategy for meeting our workforce needs, really highlighting a couple of unique things when we look at the healthcare industry. If you'll note in the report, it really does call out that healthcare industry is unique to other industries because of our reliance on
state and federal dollars, and making sure that our strategies here align and make sure that we're using those resources to help expand dual education opportunities in careers such as older adult services, and really making sure that we're looking at that as well. The members of my organization that have participated in dual education have found great results. Not only are they meeting their workforce demands by being able to recruit folks and to be able to grow their own, they're getting better employee satisfaction, which means that they stay longer, which is great. We have a challenge of turnover in our industry, and we think that that's also going to translate to better care for our seniors, which I think benefits all of us. So really excited to expand those opportunities within our field. We think that this is a strategy that needs to be looked at, and so thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you very much for all your work and testimony today.
So I was just wanted to give Senator Nelson an opportunity, too, because I know Senator Nelson was part of the advisory councils, and we actually, one of the meetings was at the Mayo Clinic. They hosted it because of their interest in this particular endeavor. So, Mr. Chair, if Senator Nelson would like to comment on what's happening in Rochester also.
Well,
Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Senator Bonhoff. I know that this project is a necessary project. My hope is that it helps us better align the skills of our employees with the job skills that are needed and today and tomorrow. And so that's kind of what I see, is helping better align the job skills with the actual jobs that exist. And I think that this will help in that regard. Healthcare is a growing industry, and it's very challenging. I will say that there's a number of questions that I'm going to ask as we go forward. This is as the bill is rolled out. I think there's probably some more fleshing out to do here.
Yeah.
But I definitely support Senator Bonhoff's initiative and the hard work that has been done here, and actually look forward to actually further refining this so we can better get that get those job skills and jobs better aligned and help with that dual education. And let me just put a plug in there for not just dual education, which is so important here, but also dual credit options for our students in the K-12 system too.
Thank you.
Kind of off on the side.
At this time, the University of Minnesota, I've got Dr. Maura Donovan and Dr. Sabina Engel. And then at the same time, if Sarah, you want to come forward, Sarah Wadinovan. Dr. Donovan.
Hello. Mr. Chair, committee members, my name is Maura Donovan, and I am the Executive Director of the University of Minnesota's Office of Economic Development. It's my pleasure to be here with you today and offer some perspective on our views on the pipeline project. Joining me today is Dr. Sabina Engel, who is a program director in our office, and also someone who is very knowledgeable about the dual training system because of her work in leading exchanges to Germany over the past few years. So I think it would be appropriate to start off our combined remarks by turning things over to Sabina.
Hello, Mr. Chairman, dear members of the committee. My name is Sabina Engel. I'm working in the university's Office of Economic Development. And as part of that work, we organized two trips to Germany to look at the dual education system in the German state of Baden-Württemberg, which is known as an economic powerhouse because it has a lot of manufacturers and it is the location of innovation in Germany. The dual education system in Germany brings together all of the stakeholders that are required to come together for skilled workers to be produced. It brings together business, government, and labor. The two delegation visits were well attended by MinSCU representatives, University of Minnesota representatives, and we also had employers involved, Mayo Clinic, 3M, and Ardent Mills. And with that, I would like to turn things over again to Dr. Donovan.
Our tag team continues.
Thank you, Ms. Engel.
Okay, so the university's Office of Economic Development was launched 1 year ago in order to better meet the needs of Minnesota businesses by improving access to the resources, personnel, and technology required to advance business and industry here in the state and beyond. Repeatedly, we hear from our business partners that they see a growing need for talent pipeline that covers a range of disciplines and functional areas. And I have to say this afternoon that from my vantage point, I think the urgency in this workforce area is clearly increasing. So that's the backdrop for my comments today, which really are an echoing of some earlier comments, that this is about economic development, in my estimation. We believe that meeting the workforce demand will require creative solutions and productive collaboration between the state, educational institutions, and industry. Within that context, we greatly appreciate the effort that has gone into the Minnesota Pipeline Project. It really is tremendous to see where this has come to today. And indeed, we were pleased that several members of the university committee were directly involved in the project. I think it is important for this conversation to also recognize that the university, like many other institutions that we've been referencing, is already engaged in a dual training model with its focus on providing continuing education to individuals who are already in the workforce. The existing options at the university include degree programs at both the undergraduate and the graduate levels, as well as academic and professional development certificates. We are prepared to draw upon this experience together with a growing focus on providing a range of experiential learning offerings to students in support of the pipeline project and the proposed workforce development pilots, which we see as very complementary to this range of educational offerings which we have here in the state of Minnesota. In closing, I would say a productive collaboration around workforce development should lead to a collection of training options that work together so that we have a really robust educational pipeline that complements the need for a talent pipeline to meet the career-long learning needs of current and future employees.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Donovan.
And then our last testifier, unless there's questions.
Nope. Any questions from members? If not... Thank you very
much
for your testimony.
Thank you very much. Our last testifier is Sarah Radasevich from the Chamber of Commerce. And when we began this project last year, Amy Wallstein was part of a small working group with my committee administrator, Dave Kornecki, who I do really want to acknowledge for the tremendous work he has put into creating this initiative. Ms. Wallstein then proceeded to go on maternity leave, handed the baton over to Sarah, who not just picked it up midstream, but actually really expanded the scope of what the advice and counsel the chamber provided. And so I'm really grateful for her partnership and pleased that she can be here with us today.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Senator Bonoff, and members. I'm Sarah Radasevich with the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce. The chamber has 2,300 plus member businesses across the state of all shapes and sizes, covering many industries. And about half of our membership is comprised of businesses that have fewer than 50 employees. So we represent a broad swath of businesses in the state. And one of the focuses of our education and workforce agenda is to help students gain skills and knowledge that align with Minnesota's workforce needs. And that starts early and it continues through the education to workforce pipeline. We testified last year in support of Senator Bonoff's bill to begin this pipeline project. And since then, we have participated in the stakeholder convenings with the Department of Labor and Industry to identify the high-demand occupations and the skills associated with those occupations. Representatives from manufacturing, healthcare, IT, and agriculture companies have also participated, and there was a lovely handout provided with the logos of all of the different companies involved in the stakeholder groups. We support this effort because our members tell us when we travel across the state that they face difficulty in finding workers. Across industries, companies have high-paying job openings, but they get few or no qualified applicants. Often the employers and the HR representatives that we talk to expand on this by saying, you know, not every student needs a four-year degree. A lot of these are technical jobs. They require a certificate or a two-year degree to get started or some sort of industry credential. The concerns that we hear, they're not new. We've been hearing them for 10-plus years, and they're growing, in part because of the retirement of baby boomers, the demographics that our state is facing, but in part because some of these pipeline challenges are simply still unaddressed. Senate File 5 seeks pilot funding to help propagate what we see as a very promising practice that some employers, like Bueller that you've heard from today, are already using to find and retain talented workers. By helping more employers and industries implement dual training, it is our belief that that this project could help to accelerate business adaptation to a new environment. And when I say new environment, I mean that the days are gone when you could post a job application and what was called the post and pray model, just hope that qualified applicants would come to you and things would work out. And we've heard this from employers, but this is an environment in which folks need to be much more actively involved in finding their future workers, investing in them, and retaining them. And we think that this is a great program to sort of help more employers discover how to do this and start down this path. It won't solve all of our economy's workforce gaps and challenges, but it could really help to jumpstart this adaptive process, which requires upfront investment from employers and perhaps some more aggressive recruitment tactics as well. So thank you very much for hearing my testimony today, and I'll take any questions.
Any questions, member, for the for the witness? If not, thank you very much for your work
thank
and
you.
Your comments
Thanks.
Today. Senator Bonoff, I think with that, that's the end of your testimony, and obviously I want committee members to feel free to ask some questions. I did say at the beginning of the meeting that we're not going to take action today, but we will be bringing the bill back on Monday, because kind of to Senator Nelson's point, I mean, this is a really innovative idea. I think it's a great idea, but I want to make sure that the committee is comfortable, and if we can make any changes with Senator Bonoff or have your amendments ready to work with council on Monday. This will be the first bill, hopefully, that will pass out of committee. It does have another stop in higher ed, and ultimately we'll have to go to Senator Tomassoni's committee for funding. But I agree. I think most of us think that this is a step in the right direction. It's good for business. It's good for workers. And we just want to make sure the committee does its work and gets the bill right here. So with that, Senator Herr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I also want to speak in support of this bill. Also, I'm also a co-author. And I wish I had known, like, the testifier ahead of time, and I noticed Herberman is on the radar here, and I'm a very grassroots senator, I think, of all, don't get me wrong here, but I think of all the 67 senators, I'm probably one of the most grassroots, and I'm in touch with people, you know, on the street, and know where my people work and all that, and, you know, Herberman seemed to ring the bell. A number of people in my community has been employees of the company, and I think, you know, this will lead to a more educated process and get people in the right direction. So I would have prepared a better statement if I have, you know, it's all connected. So thank you, and I'm honored to be part of this bill also.
And Mr.
Senator
Chair,
Bono.
Mr. Chair, Senator Herr, thank you for being a co-author. And I know we have talked about an amendment that you'd like to offer to make sure that we serve the people in your community. And so I look forward to hearing that amendment and adopting that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments today? And I'm sure Senator Bonoff, since this committee does deal with agriculture, it was probably just an oversight that we didn't have a testifier to discuss the ag stuff.
Mr. Chair, we tried, and in fact, if you come to the hearing at higher ed, Land O'Lakes will be there.
Oh, yeah.
They were able to come, and I don't know where the pork producers are. But.
I'm fine. Thank you very much for all your work on it. Committee, any other questions for Senator Bonoff today? If not, thank you very much. I think
thank
that was
you.
A good start. We'll see you again on Monday. And again, I would continue to work with the author, or please see counsel if you have additional amendments. Otherwise, with that, the meeting's adjourned.